Hey everybody, this is Sam and Mike, the producers of Ask an Atheist, and we're here to tell you about a competition that we have been nominated for.
Yeah, King 5, the local NBC affiliate, does this thing every year where they crown the best of Western Washington on a number of topics, and we've been nominated for one of the categories.
Best podcast of Western Washington. This is King 5's evening magazine, Best of Western Washington, for a whole bunch of categories, and we've been nominated for Best Podcast. If you're hearing this, you are listening to the podcast, and if you think we're the best podcast in Western Washington, by all means, please vote for us.
Yeah, this is actually quite a big deal that if you go to any restaurant, any retail store around the area that's won one of these, they always hang up that plaque prominently, and it gets them a lot of new business, a lot of positive attention. And if we win this, it'll be no exception. This would be equivalent of getting 5 atheist billboards up there. The number of mainstream attention we get, we get better calls, more emails, more listeners.
We wish we had a URL we could send you directly to, but there isn't one. So if you go to askanatheist.tv, home of Ask an Atheist and where you're downloading this podcast from, there will be right at the top of the page a place where you can go to vote. Right now we're in first place, but we're at by a gnat's breadth, and we're up against some real good competition.
Yeah, these are people who've been on big time radio. These are people with a lot of fans and a lot of money, and we are kind of the Rocky Balboa here. Help us make it to the 15th round. Help us win this thing. Let's do this. Thank you. Please, 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 please vote.
I could throw in some more pleases, but yeah, if you could really help us out with that, that would be fantastic. It doesn't cost any money, and it doesn't take very much time. Go to askanatheist.tv, look for the link, and vote today. Oh, boy. So, if you're coming to us from the Blog TV event this week, you might notice that we're going to stick a little closer to the topic this time. And I think my exhaustion might be showing a little bit. This is Ask an Atheist, 253-584-1480. And in the studio with me today is, as usual, Mike.
Hey.
And new show person, who you've seen probably online a lot, Nick Kennedy. How are you today?
I'm doing just fine. How are you?
Ah, very good.
Awesome.
Very good. We do have some announcements this week. First off, like I was just saying, we have the Blog TV event, and I thought it went pretty good.
Yeah, I was happy with it. If you're not really familiar with that, Blog TV is one of those things. It's like a chat room, except that there's a window in the middle of the screen where you can watch somebody entertain you like a monkey.
Yeah.
In that case, the monkey was us.
Right.
And for 24 hours, we basically just live blogged and talked. To people, we're raising money because, of course, being on commercial radio does cost a pretty penny. And hey, it's not too late, by the way. If you do want to make a contribution to help keep us on the air, go to our website, askanatheist.tv.
Yeah,
I think it went really well. Actually, we raised about just over $1,200, and we want to say a special thank you to everyone who gave a contribution, especially Scott Imbo, who's a friend of the show from Vancouver?
Yeah, Langley, actually.
Yeah, Langley, just outside of Vancouver.
Yeah, in British Columbia up north. Scott's an awesome guy. Thank you again for all your contributions in funny increments. Thank you, Scott.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yes. So, like we like to talk about, there's three vectors for raising money for the show. The first vector is advertising, and please, if you have something you'd like to advertise about, go to our website. The second one is live events, and we do have a live event coming up, which we'll be announcing shortly. And the third one, as you say, is basically we're on the internet equivalent of the street corner with an upturned drum, basically busking.
Yeah, it's kind of the organ grinder with his monkey.
Yeah,
and an overturned hat, and please give us something.
The other announcement, which might invalidate some of that busking, I guess atheism busking, if you will, is that we have been nominated for the King 5 Evening Magazine Best Podcast of Western Washington. Even though we are a radio show, and we are on the real radio that you can tune in with a real tuner and pick us up, a fair amount of the people who listen to us listen via the podcast feed. And so we've been nominated, and we are currently in first place. But we're in first place by a gnat's wing. We're up against some really good competition, some folks we really respect.
People who've been on the radio, people who have high-quality stuff and a lot of fans, and it's a tenuous lead, and it's because of the quality of our competition that we do want your support. So please go to our website again, askanatheist.tv. You'll find a link there. Please vote for us. Don't be put off by the fact it says Western Washington.
Yeah.
Everybody is eligible to vote. And in fact, the website itself, Evening Magazine, is really big on us sort of pimping ourselves for this because it makes their contest bigger and more important.
Absolutely. If we get this, it'll be easy for, it'll give us a lot of exposure in the area, which means increased advertisement, which means increased attendance at our events, and, you know, and just a lot of attention for the show. And that will help us out and sort of decrease the need for any internet busking we may need to do.
Yeah, this award is a big deal. If you are in the Western Washington area and you go into any business that has won this, you will find this plaque on their wall displayed prominently. People get a lot of extra business, a lot of extra exposure, and in the atheist visibility movement, this is, I guess, the equivalent of about 5 billboards to get our message out there. This is the sort of thing that would help us get our point of view out to a much wider audience, which is the whole point of this show.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I'd just like to take a second to say that for the first time, we're actually testing streaming to the blog TV. Got a camera in the studio that's streaming to the internet right now. If you're on the internet, could you check us out? Check that out and let us know how it goes. That'd be great. That's it.
Yeah, I believe so.
I'm still really scattered from the blog TV event. How about you guys?
I don't know. I'm doing pretty well.
Really?
Then again, I only stayed there for 9 hours. You were there for the entire thing.
I did the whole 24.
Yeah, and I don't know if I could do that.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
you definitely have a lot more stamina in that regard than I do.
It was really weird because, I mean, it'd be, you know, we're on hour 20 and I'm like, hey, everybody, this is Sam and I've got stuff about atheism I need to talk about. And then it would come to do sort of like the hourly spiel about the podcast, you know, what we're doing and raising the money. And then I go, okay, yeah, so that's why God is silly. And welcome to the Ask an Atheist blog TV event. And it was just really weird. And it was, I just fell into this pattern. It became this weird psychological thing where I was two people very briefly.
That and dealing with all the distractions from the other people inside the room.
Oh, yeah.
Couldn't really, and that, dealing with that with as little sleep as you got, you know.
Needless to say.
How much sleep did you get in that night, Mike?
3 or 4 hours, but I wouldn't really count it as 3 or 4 hours because the quality of the sleep wouldn't have been 3 or 4 hours in my actual own bed.
Absolutely. It was a nap.
Hour and a half, maybe?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Becky started a new job this week, and so she was there for a good chunk of it and was just dead on her feet for a lot of it.
Oh, yeah.
So I can't name everybody because the list was 50 miles long, and I don't remember big chunks of it, but I do want to thank everybody who participated in the blog TV event and made it what it was and helped us raise over $1,200 for the show.
That kind of support absolutely melts our heartsicles. Thank you very much.
Yeah. So, as you guys know, we have a segment we do every week now, where we look at the weird parts of books.
Yeah, we like to call this Scripture Says What? Yeah, this is a look at the holy books, not just the Bible, the Quran, the Bhagavad Gita, Dianetics, probably the divine principle of Reverend Sun Myung Moon. Name your poison, pick your holy book.
Did Zardoz write a book?
I don't believe he named a book. He was named after a book.
Ding!
But
Zardoz mentioned one.
So basically what we do is we look at the funny, the weird, and the just plain scary from these holy books, because frankly a lot of believers tend to treat them like software license agreements. They just go, yeah, whatever. Scroll to the bottom, hit I agree. So this week actually comes from the New English translation of the Bible, and it's near the beginning, too. This is from Genesis chapter 2, verses 18 through 20. It reads as such. The Lord God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a companion for him who corresponds to him." The Lord God formed out of the ground every living animal of the field and every bird of the air. He brought them to the man to see so that what he would name them, and whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name. So the man named all of the animals, the birds of the air, and the living creatures of the field, but for Adam, no companion who corresponded to him was found. And
So this shotgun development approach to biological engineering.
So Adam is lonely.
Yeah.
God doesn't like this, and he wants something that corresponds to him. So what does he do? He makes a bunch of animals.
Yeah.
And I'm not exactly sure. It's like, okay, I made him a horse, I made him a turtle, I made him a cow, I made him a chimpanzee. Isn't he going to marry any of these things? What do you want from me? And it's like, I'm not exactly sure, did God expect him to fall in love with one of these animals? And it's like, He's like, oh, come on, Adam. This isn't good enough for you? I made you a whole planet. You want another person? Fine. Okay, I'll make it. What's kind of funny is that there's this weird implication that God kind of wants a donkey show.
Oh, man.
And yeah. that it's like, come on, Adam, you're not supposed to have shame until Eve eats the apple, so come on.
Yeah, yeah. So the thing is here, I mean, is, yeah, apparently gay marriage is bad, and they all say, what, are we going to allow you to marry dogs later on? Well, according to the Bible, yeah, God wants you to do that, so why is gay marriage worse?
Yeah, the bestiality is only bad because Adam was picky.
Yeah, okay. Whatever. And there, but I will say there is one kernel of truth in this quote. There is I found truth in the Bible, ladies and gentlemen. We did name all the animals. I mean, not Adam, but people did.
People did. Yeah.
Most puffins don't know that they're puffins. They just know that they like eating fish. Ask an atheist. 253-584-1480.
Puffin reference number one.
Puffin reference number one. Ding. And if you have a scriptural quote that you'd like to point out to us, and we would like to say that non-biblical scriptural quotes get preference because we want to be able to have a cavalcade of religious pamphlets in order to parade in this segment, go to askanatheist.tv, click on the shiny red button, and fill out that form and include the quote, what version you saw it in, and how it works out.
Yeah, we'll find out. Make sure that it's real, because even we can be fooled sometimes by the magic of the Poe's Law. We'll make sure that it's real. We may even read it on the air like this one. And this last one actually came from Calidus from Fresno, California. Thank you, Calidus, for something rather creepy.
Yep. We do have a phone call. Manolo, he's got a topic-related story, so we'll be getting to you in a few minutes, just letting you know. But let's do some emails to start out.
Absolutely.
The first email comes from James of the Internet, and he actually has a sort of a bugbear of mine. This is a figure of speech, and he writes, I have been an atheist for over 7 years and only came out about 2 years ago. I still find myself saying things like, God only knows, and swear to God. Some of my theist friends who know I'm an atheist still question my beliefs when I say something that references God. What are your thoughts on this? Freudian slip or just a figure of speech?
It's social conditioning. It's something that we just say out of reaction. It's like, you know, oh my God, this is, you know, it's not, admitting that there is a God just because you could say, oh, by Zardoz or... Or what was it that Kate said during the Blog TV event?
I think Merciful Zeus.
Yeah. Merciful Zeus.
Yeah, I think what we're looking at here is it's just a cultural backdrop, and that we happen to live in a country, not a Christian nation, but a nation that has a majority Christian population.
Yeah.
And when you're against a backdrop where people do swear or throw out exclamations of surprise that reference the majority religion, you tend to absorb that whether you think it or not.
I've decided to own it. I mean, I actually am putting together a video that I'm going to put on YouTube someday of every time somebody says, oh my God, on Ask an Atheist, because we do it practically weekly. And the thing is this is something that Carl Sagan says about, about thinkers in science in the past and some of the crazy ideas they had, like Isaac Newton, who was an alchemist as well as did a lot of math stuff, is we're a product of our times. Oh my God, OMG, you know, stuff like that. That's how we've learned to exhibit surprise. It's a cultural thing, not a religious thing. So I've decided to own it. And I say things like, oh Lord, all the time.
I say Jesu Christo all the time.
Yeah, exactly. Zounds.
I tend to take, actually, there's so many of them. Even goodbye comes from the root word involving God. But I guess I've sort of taken the opposite approach of Sam, where I'm actually do make an effort to say things like thank goodness rather than thank God.
Yeah. But that makes you sound
An old grandmother?
Like an old grandmother or a as opposed comics to young code era superhero, which might be what you're going for, I guess.
Oh, yeah, Sweet Christmas. I do like, I've been saying thank goodness for a while now. I've eradicated thank God from my vocabulary, but I still slip out of oh God, and I know that if I try to pretend like I eradicated that, some fan of the show could go back and find me saying this like 50 times. I guarantee when you actually edit that tape, Sam, I'm going to be on about half of it.
Oh, sure, yeah. I mean, I can see I'm a little bit more careful about it on the radio because, this is a show about atheism. I don't want to be talking about God on the show. But honestly, I don't really care. And, you know, say what you like. If you want to make stuff up, I always approve of creativity. Go right ahead. We'll do one more quick email before we go into the break. And this is from Ron from New York. And he's back. He's talking about the slur word for atheism, and he writes, "Sorry, I missed your show live last week, but I was busy battling Hurricane Irene. possibly one of the best reasons for missing the show there could possibly be.
I'm going to say that's no excuse.
Yeah. I mean, go someplace with internet.
Yeah.
Sure, there's someplace that...
Yeah. Get in a bunker with an antenna.
Yeah, sure.
I mean,
come on, Ron.
It was
just a hurricane. I mean, it wasn't like an earthquake or something.
All right, apparently we think you're a bad person for not listening. I missed that. All right, so perhaps God targeted my house because I'm an atheist. Or because you're not listening to the show. As some of our religious friends like to refer to us, heathens. If you look it up, the definition of heathen doesn't necessarily equal atheist, but neither do the origins of other slang words for other ethnic groups when you trace their origins. But I'm sure that most religious people do embrace the label heathen as synonymous with the word atheist. And absolutely, there are groups in the Puget Sound area that have completely owned the word heathen. There's the Heathens Do It Better group, and so...
Yeah, I think this just goes on the list that I think the reason, then again, why there isn't this catch-all word, and what we're talking about is slur words that when it gets thrown out in an argument, somebody expects a violent response, whether it's the N-word or the C-word or the B-word or the K-word or
the
Q-word.
I'm going to start picking random letters to see what people come up with.
You throw it out there and somebody goes, man, oh, he's going to punch that guy.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. We don't really have it because whenever something gets thrown out there, we embrace it and wear it ironically.
I can't suggest to other people that they take the same tack, you know, like racial politics and equality politics and stuff like that. But that's one thing I do like about the atheism movement is that every time somebody tries to invent a slur for us, we just don't enroll with it. I think that's something we've learned from the previous, you know, pushes for civil rights and equality. Is it?
I think that we should start calling ourselves infidels.
Infidel
is just such a fun word to say.
I've seen infidel before. Yeah, it's a pretty good word.
There is a radio host who actually calls himself the infidel guy.
Oh, yeah, there is. There is, isn't there?
I have to say, I forget what his name is right off the... Reginald Finley. Yes, Reginald Finley calls himself the infidel guy. So we do have a tendency to sort of endorse these things. But, yeah, it's funny how language tends to work.
Yeah, absolutely. This is Ask an Atheist, 253-584-1480. We've got a call, and we've got a topic, and we'll be coming into that in a minute.
Connect with your clients. We can give you a top-notch web presence. Tacoma Telematics can take your website to the next level and make it an essential part of your business marketing. But that's not all. Want VoIP? We've got it, bringing large corporation phone systems capability at mom-and-pop prices. We build intuitive interfaces to help you manage your resources quickly and efficiently. Take advantage of our holistic approach to make your business communications succeed effortlessly. At Tacoma Telematics, we're committed to personal and professional integrity, open communication, and long-term relationships. See us at TacomaTelematics.com.
Did you know that not a single psychic or paranormal event has ever been reproduced?
Have you ever wondered about the effectiveness of faith healing, Reiki, or sports bracelets?
Was 9/11 an inside job, or is that all just another unproven conspiracy theory?
Come check out the Seattle Skeptics, a group focused on lively debates and a critical examination of pseudoscience, alternative medicine, and anything else that hasn't held up to the light of the scientific method.
Seattle Skeptics was created for those who require a higher bar of evidence than gut feelings or blind belief.
We're not contrarians or cynics. We just want to see the evidence.
And so should you.
Check us out at seattleskeptics.org.
That's seattleskeptics.org.
Join us after today's show at the Office Bar and Grill in downtown Tacoma. Offering a wide selection of tap and bottled beer, a full bar of your favorite liquor, and a taste bud tantalizing menu, come on down and shoot the breeze with the Ask an Atheist crew. Who can argue with your motives? After all, you're at the office. The Office Bar and Grill is at 813 Pacific Avenue in Tacoma.
Welcome back. This is Ask an Atheist, 253-584-1480. And I think we've let him waiting long enough. Manolo from Kentucky, one of the guys behind the ATORZAR podcast. How are you doing today?
I'm doing okay. How about you guys?
I'm doing pretty good. So you want to talk about your work? You have a work-related atheist story for us, which incidentally is the topic for today.
Yeah, I saw Becky put it on Facebook that she wanted stories, and I have one about 3 hours old, so I have it fresh in my mind.
All right, let's hear it.
Well, earlier at work, we were all in the break room, and two of the guys started talking about religion.
Mm-hmm.
And I try to stay on the sidelines, you know, when they start talking about religion, especially because everybody knows what my views are, you know.
Right.
But they were, you know, talking about all kinds of stuff, from the Bible to the zombies raising from the dead, or when Jesus, you know, died and all that. And one of the guys didn't even know about that. and they were talking about free will, all kinds of subjects, and this female worker comes in the break room. And, of course, she starts, you know, talking to them about the conversation they were having, and everything was great. But at some point, she just, I guess she just had it, and she just blew up on one of the guy's face and called him from unpatriotic down to, I went to war and fought for you, and this is the way you are. And, you know, it went into a really crazy, crazy spin, and she just stormed off. And one of the guys said, what just happened? You know, one second we're talking about, you know, free will. The next second she's just blowing up and calling me that I'm a liberal and I'm not patriotic and that I wouldn't do anything for anybody. And the guy is a Christian. You know, the guy is a believer.
Well, what just happened is you got a face full of privilege right there.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened there. But the thing is that she even went and talked to the foreman and everything. So I really don't know where this is going, but I'm thinking some sensitivity training is coming out of this.
Yeah, I don't really think necessarily for the people in the break room either.
Yeah, no, yeah. That's clearly not. Unpatriotic, it's the Christian nation thing again. That's an expression of dominionism.
Yeah. The idea that I fought in this war, therefore, you know, for you to have freedom, therefore you shouldn't have freedom.
Seriously, show me on the doll where it says we're a Christian nation. That's really what it...
Well, I printed the Treaty of Tripoli and I gave it to the guys. I didn't give it to her because I didn't have the guts to get into an argument with her. But they got into another argument later that it was even worse and I wasn't at it. And she went to the foreman and really I'm thinking they're going to probably, you know, have some kind of training or something on it about not talking about religion and politics because it really got out of hand quick.
Right, right.
You know, it went to the F words and all kinds of stuff. And surprisingly, it went to the GDs and everything, which I don't understand. Three Christians arguing and saying, you know, GDs. But it was a pretty ugly sight to see. And, you know, of course, the atheist is in the sidelines just laughing. You know?
Absolutely, absolutely. It sounds like you're expecting sensitivity training for everybody, which is really, that kind of stinks, because you guys were having a perfectly good conversation, and it seems like everybody was being courteous to each other and stuff like that. And then all of a sudden, somebody comes in and says, oh, da, 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 and that means it sounds like it's going to limit free speech for everybody. You know, I mean, you don't really have free speech at the workplace, but it was just one person with a problem. Now everybody, the subject is off topic for everyone.
And one of the guys was actually the second time that they got into it, the guy went to apologize, which he didn't have to because he didn't say anything to her.
Right.
But he went to apologize to her, and what she threw back was, you know, I tell my daughter that, you know, you can apologize, but if you keep doing the same things, you know, you're really not doing anything. And, you know, so I don't know what happened there, but it was just a crazy, crazy thing that just happened today. And I thought it was funny that you guys have the same subject that you're talking about here.
Yeah, funny how that works out. You know, I'd like to, if you wouldn't mind, if you give us a follow-up call on a later episode and let me know how this story pans out.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes. You know, the foreman went around and asked everybody that was in the room if anybody else got offended, and they didn't get offended. But if they do some sensitivity training, I'm going to bring up the Christian music they play on Sunday mornings at work.
There you go.
Good
idea.
Very happy about. So,
all right, Manolo.
What's fair, it's fair. It's, you know, good for everybody.
It has to work both ways. All right, thank you very much. Thank you, Manolo. Have a very good day.
Take care, guys.
Bye. I tend to take a very similar stance as Manolo when it comes to doing this sort of stuff in the workplace, is that I just usually just don't go there at all. That when it comes to being an atheist, a public atheist, there really is nothing that you can say about your atheism that is so innocuous that it won't send somebody off the handle like that.
Yeah.
It's just kind of like you're playing Russian roulette and then one of the chambers has a crazy, a crazy Christian in it who just has a persecution complex.
Absolutely.
Who wants to scream about everything.
And that's the subject for today, is we're actually here to talk about coworkers. And we've got, we got some feedback about the subject on the internet, but we've got some stories here in the studio. Nick has some interesting stories about being an atheist.
Yeah. Most of the time, I never like to talk about religion or politics at work. It's just something that I don't, it's too divisive. I don't like to talk about it, but sometimes it comes up. And when someone asks me, what's your political leaning, I will just say what I am, and what church do you go to, and they'll say I'm not affiliated with any religion, And if they say, well, does that mean you're an atheist? And say, well, yes, actually. And one of my coworkers actually found out I was an atheist. I didn't bring it up, but she just by chance found my YouTube channel. And I like to talk about atheism on my free time, including on my YouTube channel. And she said, I can't believe you're an atheist. I can't believe. And before this whole time, we were, you know, we still are very friendly. In fact, I think she's probably listening right now because I told her why I took today off work and she was kind of snooping around. And so, yeah. But anyway, it was relatively friendly, but it's still she kept on bringing it up and it was making me kind of feel uncomfortable because I don't like talking about religion at the workplace. It's right. Not, and a lot of my coworkers do like to talk about religion. When they do, I just leave the room. I can't do it. Probably just because most of my coworkers are conservative Christians, and I am definitely not. So,
yeah, I think this is one of those things that there's a real good reason why people don't talk about religion or politics in the workplace. In the workplace. And it's because emotions run so high around these topics that we tend to be somewhat more unguarded, I think. Is that a good term?
Absolutely.
That you tend to fly off the handle a lot faster, that we tend to hold opinions that are in direct opposition to other people, and that because so often in the public square, the discussion of this stuff gets so heated so quickly, and we really don't have free speech at work, that at a certain degree we're representatives of a company when we're at work.
Right.
And that we have to deal with customers, and when you put yourself out there, and this is the same reason I get angry at those people that refuse to sell the morning after pill at pharmacies because of their religious beliefs, is that this is not your company, that you're not working for a company that usually has an ideology. And this is one of the questions I asked when I was hired at the retail establishment I work at, which is there anything here that you would refuse to sell a customer? And I said no.
And even if you are the representative of your company, even if you are the company, like in my case, I am my company. I'm the owner of a consulting place, and I don't talk about religion. I don't talk about politics when I'm on the clock. Not just because it's a bad idea, but because other people might be religious, and I don't want to tell them that I'm an atheist and lose money. I mean, when I am an activist, I am an activist. Everything is about my activist stuff. But I do have some compartmentalization. And when I am the owner of my company, I am very mercenary. I am doing this to get paid. I am doing this to put food on the table. And atheism really isn't a part of that. And maybe that's a bad idea. Maybe that's a good idea. I'd like to hear from you guys about that, you know, about how I should approach this as an atheist business owner.
The other thing, too, is with that lack of free speech, you get into exactly what Nick was talking about, which is that you can get cornered by a superior and be in a position where you really can't argue with them because, like you said, she was making you really uncomfortable, Nick, just wouldn't leave it alone. You can't really tell your boss off in that way and not expect some kind of a reaction.
Well, the good thing was that she's not my boss. She's just a coworker. And 99% of the time that we're talking, it never comes up. But
right.
on a rare occasion, she will say, like, oh, I can't believe you're an atheist. You're so smart. How can you not believe in a God? That's something that I don't want to touch. But, you know, I couldn't imagine if it was my boss that came up to me. I really don't know how I'd react if my boss came to me and said, I can't believe you're an atheist.
I've seen a lot of people do that when I lived in Arizona. Like I say, things in Arizona are quickly, or in the Phoenix area, are quickly changing as it becomes more and more a metropolitan place. But for at least a part of the time I lived there, it was very weird. And I had a lot of friends who weren't atheists, but weren't like standard Christians or Mormons, who would get, you know, who would go to small companies in the Arizona area and not get promoted or get fired, basically because they didn't gel with the corporate culture, when the corporate culture was all basically based around this religion.
Yeah.
So we've got some emails on this subject, and I'd like to go to one now. This comes to us from Buggy from Wichita, Kansas. And he has a Muslim coworker that stunned him the other day by saying that he wished that a fly would not have landed on his donut because he was going to have to smash the fly into it now. I asked him to explain, and he said that his teachings say, if a fly falls in the drink of anyone of you, he should dip it in... because one of the wing has the sickness and the other wing the cure. Thinking this must have been some sort of urban legend gone wrong, I looked it up, and sure enough, it is the teachings of the Hadith, whatever that is, and I think we talked about that earlier. Do you want to read that out? Because I'm actually pretty bad at Arabic.
I'm even worse with that. Okay. It comes from the Hadith, Volume 4, Book 54, Number 537, and this is basically... The Hadith is essentially like the extra add-on director's commentary thing for the Quran.
The novelization of the movie.
Yeah, read the Bantam book.
Yeah.
This is the sayings of the Prophet. So there's all these little... I guess you would call them wisdom, but there's a lot of nonsense in here, too. And we talked about this a couple weeks ago, where it also said that you need to blow your nose in the morning because a devil is in there. And this is just another example of that. So when you're at work and a coworker says something like this, like if you had a Christian coworker who blurts out that, oh, like they get Chinese food and they throw their fortune cookie away because it's of Satan.
Right.
How do you respond to that?
Yeah, I don't know.
Give me your fortune cookie. They're tasty.
There you go. For me, this looks sounds like that thing from Labyrinth, where one, you know, and it's not from Labyrinth, but this is the most known version of it, where one guy always lies, one guy always tells the truth. So you have to take both so you know they're lying. It's like, yeah, you could eat half a fly and get, yay, free medicine, but there's a 50% chance that you might get diseased. And it seems like this might be a ideological precursor to refrigeration. Yeah, go ahead and eat. If you eat the fly, you won't get sick.
Then again,
fine.
I listen to, I read this and I hear what it is, and it just makes me say, huh? You said a what and a what? I mean, like, yeah. No.
Oh, man.
Put in that one position, I don't think I could say anything to my coworker. I think I'd just leave the room because I can't trust myself to say something that isn't mean.
I'd let it go, yeah. So our next email comes from Laura from Ohio, and first she says sort of a critique. And she says, hello there. First, I'd like to say that I recently discovered Ask an Atheist, and I'm very much enjoying listening to the show. It has quickly become my second favorite podcast, but I do love that you record on a more frequent basis, so keep up the good work. Now on to my reasons for emailing. The first one is, she says, as a mathematician, I have been a bit disappointed in several recent episodes to hear some pretty glaring math errors and then not hear anyone correct them. First on the list is the Dawkins scale. It goes from 1 to 7, which means there's an odd number of points on the spectrum, which means that 4 is exactly in the middle. Exactly. Laura, actually, we do talk about this, and I say that the Dawkins scale from 1 to 7 is actually a bad idea because I'm not certain I want a middle point. I don't really believe that anybody is exactly in the middle on the scale. And I actually find I would go with an even number because that would get... means that if we're going with whole integers, unless we're going with like a floating point number, if we're going with whole integers, there's no way to be exactly in the middle. Because socially, I have to say, I don't think I've ever met anybody who really, on further analysis, was really exactly in the middle. This is like D&D true neutral. It doesn't really exist.
Yeah, I don't like the Dawkins scale as a general rule. One, because you can't really come up with an increment of belief.
Yeah.
And two, because it treats agnosticism as if the definition of agnostic is 50-50, which it's not. We have a tendency to treat it as a XY axis where there's belief and then there's knowledge. And I, for instance, am an agnostic atheist because I don't know, but I also don't believe.
Yeah.
And my issue with the Dawkins scale, 1 to 7, that itself is arbitrary. Each number is arbitrary.
Right.
I really don't know what it's useful for.
I think the Dawkins scale is a bad thing on its own anyway.
Though I think the middle point should be reserved for cats and dogs. You know, animals that don't have the ability to, well, comprehend a higher power.
Sure.
Let alone, you know, deny that it exists.
Sure, sure. Now, she goes on for a couple more things, and I'll just respond to the whole thing by saying, Lara, you're a mathematician. We're not. We're in the studio thinking on our feet. We do the best we can, but yeah, we're going to make mistakes. And feel free to continue correcting us, and we will talk about it on the air, by all means. But we're not all mathematicians in here, and some of us aren't even very good at addition. Now she does write about atheism in the workplace, and she writes, I am a social worker, and I work for a fairly small nonprofit in a relatively rural area of Ohio. In the 15 months I've worked here, I've managed to inform just one coworker of my atheism, and she responded very openly. I am hesitant to tell anyone else I work with, though, as Christianity is definitely the default around here. Additionally, I'm fairly certain that I'm done coming out at work for a while, because it just so happens that my mother will be my boss's boss as of next week. She's been in the social work business for about 35 years, and I haven't had that conversation with her or my father yet. With work and family colliding like this, I am just happy to have a humanist community that my husband and I are a part of, where we can speak freely about our beliefs or lack thereof. Thanks again for a great and entertaining show. I would do exactly the same.
Exactly, yeah.
This is another reason why we have shows like this and why atheist organizations exist, is that people are in that sort of position where it isn't like, oh, why would you have a group that doesn't, you know, your whole thing is I don't believe in X, you just talk about that. Well, no, what it is that there's a shared experience of the stigma that comes with not believing in this deity when 90% of your coworkers do, and sometimes you just need an out. You need a group of people you can vent with.
Yeah.
You need like-minded people, and... You know, that's what these groups exist for. This is why this show exists.
Right.
And it leaves it so that you don't have to talk about religion or politics in the workplace. And in your place, I definitely wouldn't want to do that, because the conversations that you would have at work would carry into your personal life. And that's, like, you'd never want to do that.
Yeah. I would say if I had a hierarchy of in what order I would go through the coming out conversations, is I'd start with family. And, like, family would be, like, number one or two. And coworkers might be number eight. You know what I mean? Is you really need to have
that. Say number 208.
Okay.
I think that's just the way information moves. It'll eventually move to your relatives anyways.
Yeah.
The real question is, are you going to decide how that information gets to them, or is it going to come out to them in a really, really awkward Facebook post?
Yeah, I guess there is the social media aspect of this that we do need to take into account. That is actually how my dad became comfortable with atheism, unrelated to coworkers. The funny thing is I have the same name as my father, and for the first year we were working on Ask an Atheist, you had friended my dad instead of me, and you were sending him atheist-related things the whole time, thinking it was me, and you were getting mad because I never saw any of it. And eventually I got a phone call from my dad, and he says, yeah, you know how I didn't care for the atheist movement? I'm like, yeah. I take that back. Mike's a nice guy. And I'm like, who's Mike? Mike Gillis? He's my friend. And he kept sending me stuff on Facebook. And then it all sort of clicked into place. And I'm like, oh, God, oh, no. And the worst part about it is that I had a picture of Bela Lugosi from Plan 9 from Outer Space, and my dad had a picture of Tor Johnson from Plan 9 from Outer Space, completely independent of each other. It was really confusing. I'm really sorry about that.
No, no. Your dad's a nice guy.
I know he tries. So,
You're the only one who hasn't communicated with your dad yet?
I think so. I think maybe. This is Ask an Atheist, 253-584-1480. We're going to go into the break. We're talking about coworkers, and when we come back, I'm going to take a couple minutes to talk about my time pushing papers for the legal system.
The Humanists of Washington is the oldest humanist organization in the state and offers a community of freethinkers who educate the public and celebrate life. Come celebrate life with us. Humanists support intellectual freedom and critical thinking and hold that human beings are autonomous centers of moral development. You can become a member of the Humanists of Washington at humanistsofwashington.org. You'll get our quarterly publication, The Secular Humanist Press. Check out meetup.com, where you can be part of our monthly Seattle dinner and our Heathens Do It Better breakfast. Humanists of Washington.
If you enjoy the programming we create here on Ask an Atheist, please make a contribution with us. Your sponsorship helps keep our show on the air and improve the quality of our broadcasts. Donors get access to exclusive Ask an Atheist content. Don't make us beg. Please go to askanatheist.tv and contribute today.
You can advertise on Ask an Atheist on the radio, on our website, and in our podcast. People just like you who have the same interests are listening right now, just like you are, and thousands will download this podcast and listen to it later. If you have a product, service, or idea to sell, people here in the Pacific Northwest and people around the world, thousands will hear your message. Let us help you sell your product, service, or idea. Contact us at advertising@askanatheist.tv. That's advertising@askanatheist.tv.
And this is Ask an Atheist, 253-584-1480, and we're talking about coworkers today, and my name is Sam, and with me is Mike and
hey.
Nick.
Hey.
So one of the things I said before we went into the break was pushing paper for the legal industry. One of the things I did for some side work once upon a time was serve process to divorces and, child custody cases and medical cases. And believe it or not, for as weird as it sounds, you know, basically going around and delivering bad news for a living, it was possibly the most relaxing job I ever had.
Oh, yeah, I know that. My job, I'm a courier.
Yeah.
And it's very relaxing to just be away from your supervisor all the work day.
There is something relaxing about knowing as bad as your day is, it's not as bad as the guy you're delivering to.
not always true. Not always. Sometimes I was delivering good news, but like cessation of child support paperwork and stuff like that. And half the time I get invited in for a beer. But, and, you know, I couldn't because I'm not, you know, I got to drive around, but it was not, the thought was nice.
Unless he was trying to poison you.
There is that. But, I mean, you know, when I got served my divorce papers, I was jumping up and down and going, yay, it's finally over. So I know the feeling. I've been on that end of it. But you would be surprised how many people think that I'm part of, you know, that I'm like the judge or I'm on their jury or I have something to do with this case. I am an officer of the court, blah, blah, blah. But I'm just there to give you a piece of paper and get the heck out of there. And everybody's like, so many people are like trying to tell me how good a person they are and how great it is, you know, and how, you know, this whatever they're going through right now is just a bad thing, a bad time they're going through. And they always back it up with, well, I'm a good Christian person and la da 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 da. And it's such a regular theme with them and with a lot of these people. And I think people say it to everyone, just hoping that the person at the other end is Christian and will suddenly identify with them and feel better. And I can't say I ever, you know, fire back and say, well, I'm an atheist and I think you're a dork.
Yeah, you picked the wrong person to throw that line at.
Yeah, but I just sort of ignore it and push on. And this, again, I think might go back to privilege again. Because
it does. There's an automatic assumption, this default status that Christianity has that, you know, Christian equals moral.
Yeah.
And didn't somebody actually pull this line on Becky after they broke into her car?
Yeah, they did, actually. They pulled it on me. Becky's car was like 10 feet away from us while we were sitting in the living room. And we hear crash, and then a dog, you know, a guy and a dog running off barking. And somebody...
The dog was barking, not the person?
Yes. I think so. But the... apparently, to impress a girl, some kid just... crashed open Becky's car passenger side window and or no driver's side window, and I'm here cleaning it up, and these people, these two teenagers were very insistent that some guy named Chicken or I forget what his name is did it, and it was very clear that they were inventing a story, and I was like, I don't care.
So Chicken was nowhere nearby. He ran away.
No.
Is that why he's called Chicken?
No, I don't trust anyone with a cloaca.
I forget what his name really was. I've just been calling him Chicken. So this lady,
Squirrel.
It's Squirrel. Thank you. So I'm trying to clean up the car and make sure nothing was taken. He took an iPod cable. And the kid who's here, and obviously the guy who did it, and he took an iPod cable. Like, all right, whatever. And this girl that he was impressing is following me around, going, yeah, we're good people. We're trying not to, you know, we're trying to do the right thing and to help you guys out. And I'm pregnant. I'm going to be a mother soon. And does anyone have a cigarette? And blah 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 blah. And we're good Christian people, and I'm just like, shut up. And she's like, she's asking me like science questions about the way the glass broke, and I'm like, it's like, why do they want? Oh, because it's laminated plastic safety glass. And it's just, go away. Finally, I just like, I don't really want to talk to you. Talk to the cops.
It's amazing how quickly that just becomes a synonym for good.
Yeah,
I'm a good Christian. It's like, no, you're not a good person. I don't know if you're a good Christian or not, but you're not a good person.
You never hear people say, like, oh, well, I'm a good Muslim. You know, it's like, I'm just trying to be a good Muslim person. No, it's not just specifically religious privilege. It's Christian privilege.
Yeah, absolutely. So we actually have a voicemail, but it's a voicemail from a familiar voice. So let's go to it. Hello? Oh, hello. There we go.
Hey, Ask an Atheist. This is Libby Grant from Seattle, your difficult-to-reach and seldom-available colleague, and I have a good story about the difficulties of being an atheist in the workplace, something from my personal experience, but I'm going to be gone on September 4th. Actually, I will be in Yellowstone on September 4th, so I can't call you and tell you live on the air. So I thought I'd leave a voicemail. When I was working in the financial sector, working for a very large company in the Seattle vicinity. I was in charge of an accounts payable department, and I had an employee in my department who disagreed with me on a number of points, and somewhere, somehow, she found out I'm an atheist. I don't remember how or where, but she started sending me, along with a large group of other people on the carbon copy list on her email, all kinds of really offensive emails about how atheists aren't really part of America, and if it's one nation under God, and if you don't agree with it, then get out, and, you know, the same old rigmarole. I replied to her email several times asking her to please stop, because I am an atheist, and I don't appreciate her harassing me and sending me messages saying that I should exit the country, etc. But she kept it up, and I kept all the emails, and I eventually went to Human Resources and sat down with him and said, you know, I've already talked to her several times, and she's not stopping, so I need you guys to step in for me. And to their enormous credit, Human Resources did step in. And then she acted all wide-eyed and innocent, like she didn't know I was an atheist, and oh, she didn't mean to offend me. Yeah, of course I believed her. But it was really annoying, and it went on for several weeks, and it was offensive. I mean, I find myself pretty difficult to offend in most situations, but I actually found myself getting really ticked off and offended at it. And it was quite something I never thought I would experience, that level of direct harassment coming from not only a coworker but someone who I was in charge of. It was really spectacular. But I was really glad Human Resources backed me up on it. I'm sure it could have gone differently if I had worked with a more conservative company or in a more conservative region. They may not have been on my side. They may have told me to just suck it up and deal with it. So grateful to be in Seattle, at least, where we're very liberal. So good times. That's my story. I'll see you guys on the 18th. Bye-bye.
I hope you're having fun on your vacation, Libby. But I am noticing a divide here. Some of the stories that we're hearing, the good stories tend to be from metropolitan areas, and a lot of the bad stories are not.
Yeah, it's. I will say that, you know, as widespread as prejudice against atheists is, where it does bleed over into the more liberal branch, there are parts of the country where you just do not want to be an open atheist if you don't want to argue on a regular basis.
Right, right.
You know, and when I was hearing that story, you people out in Radio Land couldn't see me, but I was literally face-palming.
Yeah. And the thing is, I didn't know she was an atheist, but I'm just sending her all this dominionist propaganda because that's what I do in the workplace. No, that is not what you do in the workplace. Unless you worked at a dominionism factory, I don't know, where, you know,
they're like building robot Mike Huckabees or something.
I didn't mean to send the Westboro Baptist Church to your house. I didn't know you were gay. I'm sorry.
The Rick Perry fueling station.
It's like, oh, okay, so I get it. You're not a bigot. You're just a jerk.
This is Ask an Atheist, 253-584-1480.
I actually have kind of a bit of a story about the workplace, too. I work at a large chain of stores, which I will not name. Yeah. I tend to keep my atheism pretty close to the vest. I don't bring it to work the same way I don't bring my politics to work or to this show.
Yeah.
What I found myself doing is, of course, we all walked out to our cars at night, you know, for safety. So enough people have seen my Godless American bumper sticker.
Yeah.
So I guess it had sunk in somewhere, but a majority of my coworkers don't know that I have an atheist radio show. So I was a bit shocked when we were standing around talking about movies that we all should see, and a coworker of mine, who was actually a superior, looked at me and she said, "Oh, Mike, you totally love this movie. The bad guy is a priest."
Yeah, well, I might disagree. The thing is, I think having a bumper sticker, especially if you work at a place where people are going to see your car, kind of counts. I mean, that's definitely speech.
Yeah, I mean, like, I only have two bumper stickers on my car. One is the Apple logo, and another one says Amoeba Music. I don't think I want to get any atheism-related bumper stickers on my car, because, like I said, a lot of my coworkers are conservative Christians, and they do talk politics and religion at work, and I don't want to be confronted by them.
And I do understand the necessity to personalize one's car. I didn't know what bumper stickers you had on the back of your car until the Blog TV event, and I'm walking up to my office, and I see those bumper stickers. I'm like, oh, yeah, it's definitely Nick.
Yeah.
I have no problem with people putting bumper stickers on their car. I mean, in terms – but I will say this. I did, in a way, like you said, ask for it. I am putting my opinions out there. Same way when I have a radio show. I am putting out into the public square, into the national conversation, my views on topics. And really what you do when you do that is you are inviting a response.
Yeah, yeah.
So
speaking of the back and forth, I do want to highlight something that you guys talked about on the last episode. You took an email from Kayla. I believe it was Kayla. And it was about the...
Kayla, yes.
Yeah, it was the having a religious boyfriend or girlfriend and dating somebody who is religious. And you said that you wouldn't do that. Now, if you could synopsize that for me.
I personally would not date a religious religious person.
Yeah.
Not because of, oh, they're not as good. You know, none of that at all. Well, the one is that there's a possibility that this could become serious and children would come into it. And I don't want to have those sorts of conversations, because in those ones, there tend to be somewhat unequal. And the religious person's like, oh, I'm religious, blah, blah, blah. I get to choose how this kid is raised. Also, I'm going to want to vent sometimes. And I don't want to turn, when I'm also kind of heated and unguarded, into an argument. And I think the other person should have that right, too, to be able to vent without me going, oh, don't get on with me about your imaginary friend.
The thing is I like to argue. And I like a relationship with back and forth that has a back and forth. And for a while, I did seek out dating partners who were religious, because I thought I would like the conversations that we would have.
Very tango and cash.
Very tango and cash. Oh, but I'm not. Oh, I don't want to think about that too hard. But because bad images, like Rule 34 images.
I need to pour hydrogen peroxide on my brain now.
Well, people in Radioland disregard that statement.
So
Sam Mulvey does not represent me.
I don't represent anybody very well. But for example, when I met Becky and we started dating, she was still an observant Jew. And I was really looking forward to sort of the conversations we would have. And we had some really good conversations. But inadvertently, when I started becoming an activist and she started hanging out with other atheists and comparing it to what she thought, she realized that she kind of, you know, that atheism was really where she was leaning as well, because she was always very pro-science and she was very pro-evolution because, well, from her perspective, her religion didn't actually, you know, didn't say anything about it and didn't have really an opinion on it. And then, you know, and then after she would listen to us and hang out with the atheists and then, you know, or listen to me talk about the way I think people should be, and then she'd go hang out with her shul, she started realizing how much more she was aligned with us than she was with them and just sort of drifted over. I always thought she was doing that just to be supportive, because Becky really, you know, really helps me out and really likes what I'm doing with the show and the activism and stuff like that. But, and I was always worried that maybe she was just doing it because to be nice. Until that photo of her at the corner of Pacific and 9th wearing the End Was Nine. She's doing, oh, the End Was Nine. I didn't really know she was doing that because I was in the middle of the King 5 interview. And
that was a fun night.
So I guess you could say sometimes it's necessary to grow your own.
Yeah. I have a certain amount of guilt, though, in those sort of situations. Like I said, I don't want to date somebody who's religious, but I'll be anybody's friend.
Yeah.
But I've had those conversations where I feel like I might be growing my own,
yeah,
where I find myself turning somebody more and more into an agnostic. I have a weird feeling of guilt when it comes to deconverting people. Like
I kind of do, too. But in this case, you know, Becky seems a lot happier now. And I mean, I can see that because we spend so much time together. But I don't know. Yeah, I mean, it goes either way.
But I don't think any of you are actively trying to convert people.
No, and that's one of the things about the show, is that this is not an evangelical show. We're not trying to make you an atheist. We just want to tell you about what it's like being an atheist and talk about things that atheists care about. And we have a call, but we're running really low on time, so we're going to have to do this quickly. Aaron from Minnesota, you've got a coworker story.
Hey, this is Minnesota Ape Man.
Hey, how you doing?
Not too bad. I have a story. A few years back, I was working for the state of Minnesota as a technician at a drug rehab.
Okay.
And at the time, I was identifying because I was working in a rehab field. And, you know, there's the 12-step recovery thing. It's all about spirituality and so on. So I was identifying as a secular Buddhist, which is, at the time, I guess, was sort of honest. But anyway, I was taken aside at one point and told, in the, you know, typical bureaucratic fashion, that if I were to speak about spirituality with my clients, I had to either speak about Christianity or Native American religions, and they didn't necessarily say it wasn't that I couldn't speak about my own spirituality or lack thereof, but that things would be basically kind of hard on me if I did. And, well, long story short, in the end, it got to the point where they kept getting cut hours and cut hours and cut hours until eventually I had to move on from that job.
So
and
they,
it was certainly, yeah, go ahead.
They weren't going to make it company policy, but it was company
right.
policy, right?
Yeah, I was taken aside by the director of the program, you know, the top guy, basically, to have a little chat. So.
Right.
Did you ever get the sense that the cut hours was retribution for them not being comfortable with your beliefs?
I didn't even have to get the sense of that. It was basically, that was the scuttlebutt. You know, you work with, I was working with 30 or 40 different coworkers, and we discussed that a number of times, yeah. So I know exactly why that was. I mean, some people you know, were slated to move up the ladder, and some people were not necessarily, you know, became persona non grata, and I was one of those, and it had to, everything to do with my spirit, my lack of spirituality. So.
Right, right.
Yeah.
All right, well, you know, thanks for hanging out with us at the Blog
TV
event.
Hey, no problem. Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah, it really was. We'll have to move on, though, so thanks for your call.
Cool.
We got one email that I'd really like to do. It's sort of important to me. I'm just going to read it, and then maybe we'll do like 5 seconds. This is Josh from Afghanistan, who's a friend of the show, and he used to go to the post-show events. And he writes, "It is amazing how it is justifiable to get physical, threatening, violent theists feel that they can be for their beliefs. I am not talking crap about this guy because he is a good guy and to talk to about almost anything, but I made the mistake of mentioning that it is a historical fact that the man depicted as Jesus is, in fact, a son of a former pope from the 6th century. This is a coworker, and I would not even call him moderately religious, but this was enough to set off an extremely angry side of him. I got him to cool down, and we talk about it, and he is ashamed that he got so pissed. My point of this spiel is that no matter how benign or moderate a person seems about their beliefs, they will still act violently to defend them. This goes towards UFO believers also. I'm on a roll for the last couple of weeks. Thanks for letting me vent. Cannot wait to be amongst friends again. Hope you're having as good a time as possible out there in Afghanistan, and we are patiently waiting for your return."
Definitely stay safe, but I think that's very true, that it doesn't really matter how moderate it is. Like I said, anti-gay sentiment is usually more volatile, more violent, more intense, but I think that anti-atheist sentiment is more widespread, and sometimes it'll spout out of the most unlikely people.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, and it's anti-atheist sentiment is more overt than even, like, anti... I guess it's not cool to be anti-gay anymore.
Right.
But it is still kind of in vogue to be anti-atheist.
Right, right, right. Yeah, that's you said something on this Blog TV thing last night, and you've said it before, that you said that, you know, gay... discrimination against gays is worse, but discrimination against atheism is way more prevalent.
Way more common.
Yeah.
And it comes out of even the most moderate, happy-dippy. I've seen even, what's his name, Al Sharpton start spitting out about how you can't be a good person without God.
Yeah. All right, this is all the time we've got. My name is Sam Mulvey. With me today was Nick Kennedy and Mike Gillis. As always, our music is by Chris Coleman. Our call screener was Darren Garvin. Our production assistant was Becky Friedman and Scott Leopold. Ask an Atheist is an NEDM Media production. You can leave us a voicemail at 206-420-0997 or visit us at askanatheist.tv. Thank you. Have a good day.
Keeping you informed, this is KLAY, Lakewood, Tacoma.